Welcome to the Growth Mindset Podcast with me, Sam Harris, your host. I invite fascinating humans from all walks of life to share their wisdom and unpack their mindsets and formulas for growth. Welcome to another episode of the Growth Mindset Podcast. Today we have Dheeraj Mukherjee. And so firstly, did you ever feel like you would be someone that had like done something that hasn't necessarily changed the world, but like just people know about? Because so that currently I'm at the point where I'm definitely doing something that could like kind of change the world of like just change the way people have these experiences, and that'd be super awesome. But it's kind of like when I look back in 10 years time, would it be like, oh, it was so inevitable, or like just sort of questioning yourself?
I don't think so. I try to be what I value. So I try to connect with people. You know, I try to be generous when I can. I try to have a positive influence where I'm able. And I think that, you know, people are more likely to pay attention if they say, oh, tell us more about your story, which is a great kind of calling card. But that's not what's important to me. What's important to me is, does someone take away an idea which they go, oh, that's a thought which I can build on. And, you know, if I look at some of the change makers in the world today, I was thinking about someone like Malala, for instance, or, you know, what Greta Thunberg did with raising awareness of climate change. These are young people, young women who haven't been presidents, so they're not billionaires or whatever. They're just, the force of their ideas and their energy is a million times more than any impact I've had. So that's much more the model which I buy into, which is, how can you have a positive impact, you know, regardless of who you are, your circumstances. But I think, you know, ideas have a lot of power when they land in the right place with the right group, and that can have a dramatic impact over time.
Definitely. One thing I'm interested in is, because I mean, you're clearly like very concerned and like giving back and doing a great job of it. Were you always like that? Did you kind of try and do a lot as you're going along? Or was it like you sort of really focused on building to the point where like when you exited, you could then sort of like relax and do these things?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Actually, it's an unusual story in that sense as well, because I left Shazam after 3 or 4 years when we had hired in a management team. And it was one of the conditions of our funding was that we would bring in an experienced CEO, which we did, Jerry, who did a fantastic job for us and was then succeeded by Andrew Fisher. And I wanted to do something which gave back. So even though I continued on the board as an observer for about 10 years and as a shareholder, I went to work for Save the Children. And that's where I learned a lot about the power of young people and the mindset of, I guess, looking at the world's problems and what can we do about it. So that's something which was a conscious decision and which I've kind of carried with me since then. And I now try to combine the two things, which is, what is a young person's perspective on the world today and in the future? And how can one use, you know, business and entrepreneurship to drive positive change?
Cool. Yeah, it's interesting. Because I've wondered about it, and like, you know, technically like Bill Gates, and sort of it's like the most charitable person on the planet, because he spent so much time investing on making his huge amounts of money first, and was kind of like, well, I'd love to get to that point, obviously, but do I want to sort of just take the risk of never actually giving back the whole time whilst I'm getting there? And like, maybe if that's what I want to do, maybe I should just walk the walk earlier. And it's like when I was doing, you know, like Vipassana, I did like one of those 10-day sort of silent meditation retreats into your brain. I came up to with like the theory that actually, like, I haven't been that good at giving to charity. So I ended up just giving myself like a yearly budget. At the end of the year, I would just spend that on charity. But like, as I'm going through the year, like, it just always, anytime someone was running a marathon or something, I'll just give them 50 quid because like it's on my budget anyway. And so instead of being like, oh, for fuck's sake, someone else is raising money and I don't want to give them money, and suddenly I can be really happy about it. I'm like, oh yeah, I'll give you money. I didn't even know you that well, but now you're going to think I'm great and I get to be nice. And it's just like so stress relieved by doing that. And yeah, I really enjoy it. And it's just like, just the way you think was just like a really nice mindset change.
I completely agree. So I don't buy into the work hard, make lots of money, and then, you know, sort of give it away later. I think one can do the two at the same time. It's about, you know, values. And don't get me wrong, I've got tremendous respect for Bill Gates and what he's doing. And I think that I'm particularly interested in clean tech and climate change now. So I'm going to be learning a lot from what, you know, Bill Gates and his investment fund are doing. But yeah, I think there's an opportunity to do both.
For sure. For those of you who listen to my show, you know that I try to make mindfulness part of my daily routine. It's really an essential part of my morning. And I've tried meditating to help me sleep, but often it's too late. I'm just sort of in my own brain doing silly things and I just can't sleep well. So I felt like I needed something more. And that's why I've tried NewCalm. It's really helped me just calm my mind and just sort of quieten everything and just get a good productive night's sleep so that I can then deal with the problems that my mind is trying to deal with, but is keeping me awake and being very unhelpful about. And so, yeah, it's great. Basically, New Calm gets you into a deep transcendental meditative state every time. Even if you're just starting out with mindfulness, it kind of has just been proven to work for people. It's the only system of its kind that's been clinically proven in over 1 million sessions to improve your sleep, reduce your stress, and boost your recovery without any drugs or side effects. It uses cutting-edge neuroscience and consists of 3 non-invasive and non-pharmaceutical items, which come with your monthly subscription. The whole process is just really easy to use and work into your daily routine to achieve better sleep and less stress. So you can try it today and own the New Calm system. With 2021, you can become more mindful. There's a special link set up specifically for our listeners. You can go to growthnewcalm.com and get 50% off your first 30-day subscription of New Calm with a money-back guarantee. That's growthnewcalm.com, growthnewcalm.com. Well, this could be a very neat transition into what you're doing with angel investing and stuff. Or we kind of glossed over the fact that you kind of were bought out of your shares and became like on the board for a while and such. Is it worth like just unpacking how that happened?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, sure. So we got to the point where we realized that in order to keep going and get bigger, it would be really useful to have more investment and less of the uncertainty about the business. The reality is, sadly, the music industry has declined 40% from the time we started to the time of exit. And that's because CDs, as we knew it, declined sharply. You have streaming music providers who are now sort of like front and center. But in general, there's less money in the business. And this is one of the reasons why Shazam changed business models 5 or 6 times. When iTunes was at its peak, 1 in 10 uses of Shazam would translate into someone buying a song. And that was a big, big drive. We were the number one driver of revenues for iTunes, but we would only make a small slice of that revenue. So end of 2017, we received an offer from Apple to buy the business. And Apple knew us very well because we were one of the first apps. And we thought, this is fantastic. It's a match made in heaven. Music is core to what they do. It's a fantastic fit. And so without any further hesitation, we took that offer. What we didn't realize is that there would be an investigation by the EU just to make sure that there was nothing anti-competitive, which would take about 9 months. So it was the slowest exit aware of. You know, we're like, hey, and then, you know, 9 months later, it actually closed. And again, I count my blessings for having been through that. You know, one doesn't take things for granted. It could have gone horribly wrong, and thank goodness it didn't. But yes, so we were all delighted. Investors, team members, founders, that was the end of the story.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds like a kind of tense 9 months of maybe this amazing thing happens, maybe not. What was your plan B if it went wrong?
I didn't have a plan B, and I was praying that we wouldn't have to come up with a plan B. So
entrepreneur to the heart. Nice. Cool. Well, yeah, that was fascinating. And then, so whilst that was happening, were you already like making plans of how you're going to like change the world and do good once that sort of had gone through? Or were you just sort of focusing on just reaching the end goal? And then you're like, I'll work out my life.
My last role, I was head of innovation at Virgin Money for 3 years or so from about 2015. And during that time, I was looking at building a financial product for young people, for students. And we looked at people going off to university and realized that they were graduating with £44,000 of debt. So, and that was coming from the fact that university is expensive. And the reality is that a lot of young people lack financial literacy, you know, knowing how to manage this big loan and what does a 6.5% interest rate actually translate into. And so rather than trying to come up with a financial product, which was not necessary, what we went into was more about financial education. And because of a whole wave of entrepreneurs and wanting to start your own business, so learning about managing your money, learning about budgeting in the context of starting a business. So that was one of the takeaways for me, and being able to empathize with, in this case, what I call financial wellness. And then there's other domains as well, which it took me to. So one of my early investments was an ed tech company called Course Match, which helps young people choose the right university course. If you make the wrong choice, you can end up dropping out after a year and being, you know, £20,000 in debt, which is a terrible outcome. So that's how I actually got started with my focus on tech for good, which is a deliberately big tent. So it includes things like avoiding unconscious bias. I've got an investment in a company called Erase All Kittens, which helps girls learn how to code. But there was no grand plan. I'm just feeling my way through the environment and deciding which causes I feel I can make a small difference to.
I did some work last year with founders and coders know if you've heard of them. I went out to Israel to sort of do some teaching there and working in the London one where they've got a lot of girls coding, which I'm all for. And I did like my side. What's the one when you talk about like your major, minor in psychology? And so I've always been on unconscious biases, and that's something I'm hoping to put into the current app of like trying to make people just more aware of like sort of diversity or things that they're not aware of. So we're kind of, okay, we're not going to probably get it done this year, but maybe if we get lucky with the Innovate UK grant or something, it's trying to do like analysis of what people are listening to as from like a diversity thing. So you can actually sort of see where you are and you can get like gamification of actually having a more diverse listening set of experiences. So you've actually sort of seen things from the other side of the table and you can kind of avoid just like falling into the trap of just listening to the things that are just going to tell you the things that you like. So yeah, I'm pretty excited by some of those things. And it's nice to hear that you've been actually doing useful work in that area. This has been great. Thanks so much. And yeah, it's been so nice speaking to you.
All right. Take care now.
You too.
Bye for now.
Bye. Congratulations on listening to a whole episode of the Growth Mindset podcast. Before you race into another podcast, try pausing. Ask yourself, what have you learned? What could you change? How will you make that change happen? Did you press pause? Knowledge is useless without action. What did you learn? What should you change? And how will you make that change happen? You can tell us what you learned by contacting us through the website, growthmindsetpodcast.com, and feel free to connect with us or our guests or just peruse the show notes. Our Instagram is @growthmindsetpodcast, or follow me @samjamsnaps for a daily reminder to stop using Instagram. If you enjoy random acts of kindness and want to support the show, you can support us on Patreon or leave us a review on iTunes, and you'll make me very happy. And with that, keep learning and keep growing.